In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're having a lot of technical problems here. My one computer just died. This computer that we're watching on, this is from Eddie. Thank you, Eddie. We would not be on without you. And Julianne, thank you for switching over. This is good. The first thing we'll begin with is this beautiful letter from Sister, or I should say Mother Gabriel. I knew her when she was Sister Mary Catherine. And the title is, What Do You Want From Me? And when you read this, this is why we have these lessons in the divine will. Jesus is trying to respond to us of what he wants for us, what he desires for us. And this is the thing that's so beautiful about this gift of the divine will is we say to Jesus every day, what do you want? What do you want from me? What do you want me to do? And this is the thing that is so exciting, is that God is telling us what he wants us to do. With the Book of Heaven, Jesus is asking us very, very clearly how to begin to live this abundant life. This is what God is asking. This is what God is desiring. So we're going to focus on the prime act as one single act in the Most Holy Divine Will. And Jesus says in volume 3, 112-1900, my divinity hidden within my holy humanity wanted to lower itself to such lowliness, subjecting itself to the course of human actions. While with one single act of my divine will, I, God, could have created infinite worlds. Feeling the miseries and the weaknesses of others as if they were its own. Seeing itself covered with all the sins of men before divine justice, having to pay their penalty at the price of unheard of pains with the shedding of all its blood. Therefore, it exercised continuous acts of profound and heroic humility. So Jesus said it would only have taken him 1 minute, 1 second, one thing to go through all the sufferings of humanity. But Jesus wanted to do this through his holy life, 33 years, but he also wanted his mother to go through what he went through. And this is why Our Lady was on Calvary. Jesus wanted her to see how much he loves us, that he was willing to spend his entire life, every drop of his blood to save humanity, to redeem humanity. And that's where we are today. Where we are is we're experiencing in our life, little by little, the life of Jesus, the life of Mary. And he says he could have done this just with one single act. He didn't have to spend 33 years. He didn't have to spend 3 hours on the cross. He didn't have to go through any of that. But this is his love for us. And as we're getting ready for Holy Week, we ask that, if you haven't watched the movie, Mel Gibson's movie on the Passion of the Christ, watch it this week. Again, remember what Jesus went through. He said to the apostles of the Last Supper, do this in remembrance of me. He wants us to know why we have the Holy Eucharist, why our Lord gave us the Holy Eucharist. And as Pope St. John Paul II said, if we don't meditate on Christ crucified, he says, you're not going to know the love of God and you're not going to know about the Eucharist. A lot of people don't want to see Christ crucified. I have in my chapel a life-size crucifix of Jesus. And one day a woman came in and said, get that thing down from there. I said, what are you talking about? He says, Jesus has suffered enough. I don't want to see him crucified. I was, wow, Christ wants to be seen. He wants us to know what he has gone through. That's why when the priest holds up the host and the priest says, look, this is the Lamb of God. It's not a time to look down. He says, look, this is the Lamb of God. Begin to understand our Lord is coming to us now, not in human form, but in the body, blood, soul, and the divinity of the Holy Eucharist. Look. So it's the same thing with the monstrance. When you look at Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, look at him, fall in love with him. This is what God is asking. So volume 4, 10, 24, 19, 14, my divine will contains completely accomplished acts. One single act of my divine will is enough to create 1,000 worlds, all perfect and complete. I do not need subsequent acts. One is enough for all. So here Jesus is showing us again, because he is God Almighty, because he has done this gift of gifts, this prodigy of prodigies, he says, I don't need to do more than one single act. But because of love of humanity, because we are trapped in time and space, Jesus is yesterday, today, and forever the same. He wants us to experience his I love you. The saints have told us that when we get to heaven, we're going to see a crucified God. We're going to see a crucified God. For all eternity, we're going to recognize what he has done for the love of us. You know, so here he says, one single act of my divine will is enough to create 1,000 worlds, all perfect and all complete. I do not need subsequent acts. One is enough for all. So in doing the simplest act united with my divine will, you shall give me, God, give me a complete act. So what Jesus is showing us is he says, I'm going to teach you how to do this single act. This is what God is asking of us. He's asking us to begin to live this abundant life. So he says, in doing the simplest act, your eye blinking, united with my divine will, you shall give to me, God, a complete act. That is an act of love, an act of praise, an act of thanksgiving, an act of reparation. So Jesus is now showing us why we are living our life. We're living our life to give back to God an act of love, an act of praise, an act of thanksgiving, an act of reparation. God is asking all of humanity to enter into this abundant prayer, this abundant life. In doing the simplest act, breathing, heart beating, walking, gazing, in doing so, with my divine will, when we learn how to do this, this is why we're saying, I want to do this in the divine will. Somebody said to me once, do I always have to say that? Yes. Yes. Why are you doing this? Are you doing it for yourself? Are you doing it for the glory of God? Or why are you doing this? Why are you breathing? Why is your heart? See, God will remind us throughout the day. Say we go for a jog and all of a sudden we're back and we're breathing. God is going, why did you do that? Oh, it's for your glory, God. This is what he says. I want each human to give me a complete act, an act of love, every heartbeat, every breath, an act of love, every praise, an act of thanksgiving, act of reparation. He says, in sum, you shall enclose for me everything in this act. This is the likeness of God. Jesus is teaching us how to do this. So when we learn how to pray in the divine will, when we say to the Lord, I love you, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, God hears all of humanity praying to him with our voice. See, the Lord has great plans. He needs us to cooperate. He says, even more, you shall enclose even myself and shall give myself to me. So when we're breathing in, Jesus, breathe in my breathing. Jesus is doing that. And then we say, I want to give this to you, God, even your I love you, not my human I love you. I want to give to you, God, what you deserve. You deserve all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Volume 11, 8, 24, 19, 15. One act in my divine will contains all possible and imaginable goods. So what Jesus is showing us in this book of heaven, these lessons of Jesus, what do you want me to do? To these lessons, Jesus is showing, I want you to do all your acts in my divine will. Why? because they contain all possible and imaginable goods. You shall find an image of this in the light of the sun. The light is one, but this light multiplies in all gazes of creatures. The light is always one. The light is one single act, but not all the gazes of creatures enjoy the same light. So what Jesus is saying, let's think about the sun on one side of the earth. When the sun is shining, we can say for all those in the dark, I love you, I praise you, I thank you for this beautiful sun, that we are standing in your sun, radiating in this divine light. And then God says he hears all of humanity praying that, this divine I love you back to God. So in the name of everyone and everything, this is what Jesus is teaching us, how to pray in the divine will. Volume 11, 1916. The acts in my divine will are the simplest acts because they are simple. They communicate themselves to everyone. Okay, so the simplicity is God. God is pure love, the simplest of all. And he's asking us to participate in this I love you. So why are we alive? Why do we go back to what mother and the Benedictine daughter said? What do you want from me? What do we want? What does Jesus want? He says, one act alone in my divine was like the most simple light, diffusing itself in every heart, in every work, in everyone. Yet it is one. The act is one. So our God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life of peace, joy, and happiness, this life of heaven on earth. So this is what the saints do. This is what the angels are doing in heaven. But an act that contains everything. I want you to enter into the one single act, but that act must contain everything. It has no feet, but it is the step of every human being. It has no eyes, but is the eyes of every human being and the light of every human being. It gives life to everyone and everything, but with no effect, with no toil. Yet it gives the act of operating to all people, all of humanity. So you see what Jesus is doing. He's asking us, what we've learned how to pray over the last 2,000 years is we plead with God. We beg him. We plead with him. And Jesus is saying, now I want you to pray to me the way I prayed on earth to my Father. I want you to pray this way, to adore God and love God and praise God in the name of everyone and everything. So a lot of people, they spend their life praying for their family. And that's good. That's holy. That's saintly. But Jesus is saying, I want you to pray for all my children, past, present, and future. See, the children of the divine will are called to bring this kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven with Louisa. That was Louisa's job. And Jesus is asking us to participate in this abundant light, this abundant life. Jesus says this. He says very, very clearly. He says, it has no feet, but the step of eye, no eyes, but the eye of all. It gives life to everything with no effort, with no toil. Yet it gives the act of operating to everyone, past, present, and future. This is the power of the divine will. This is the power of the prayer of the divine will. So the soul in my divine will becomes simple. The soul, together with me, she multiplies in everyone, past, present, and future, and does good to everyone, past, present, and future. See, the face of the earth is changing. We're entering into a new and divine way of holiness. Yes, it's going to be tough getting to there. Jesus said it would be like a woman giving birth. The pains are going to get more intense. They're going to be more frequent. And then the child is born. The era begins. This new era Jesus said 2,000 years ago, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now with Louisa, the kingdom is here for those who want it. You can begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness if you wish. You can begin to live this abundant life if you wish. It's nothing to do with anything that is separate from God. So this is what Jesus says. Volume 12, 7-4-1917. For the one who does my divine will, I, God, do not tolerate even one step of distance between me and the soul, or division of pains or division of joys. So Jesus is saying that he wants us to be one with him. I don't want any division of pains, of joys. So let's look at the pain that we're going through: physical, spiritual, mental, emotional pain. The suffering that we're going through is our cross. This is what Jesus has given each and every one of us. And he's saying very clearly, I will not tolerate one step distant from me, Jesus, and my mother, Mary, or division of pains or of joys. So this is when somebody says, I hear this a lot, why me? Why am I going through this suffering? Why am I going through this difficulty? Why am I going through this problem? Jesus says, because I went through them. And I lived a life of peace, joy, and happiness through my difficulties. And I'm going to teach you how to do this. Or you can be miserable. And Jesus says those that are worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative are going to anticipate hell. That's what he tells Louisa. He says this: those that are peaceful, joyful, and happy are going to anticipate heaven. I may keep the soul on the cross, but always with me. So why are we suffering? It's because we like pain? No, we don't like pain. But we're saying to Jesus, I want you to come down from the cross just for a moment. Let me take your place just for a moment. It's for the love of Jesus. He's the one who suffers. It's the love of Mary. She's the one that suffers. The new Adam and the new Eve took on all the suffering of humanity. Why? So that we could enter into the kingdom of God on earth. Jesus says the kingdom is within you. He's bringing this to life in us with the book of heaven. This is why Jesus says, I want you always in my divine will. See, when we're outside the divine will, we're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. We're sinning. And Jesus says, I don't want this from you anymore. I'm going to teach you how to live a new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II says. But always with me, he says, to give you the first place over my sacramental heart. So he brings us back to the Eucharist, the first place, the first person. You're the only one, Jesus says, that I can trust being with me in the Holy Sacrament. This is why he asks us to spend an hour with him each day, to be with him, to love him, adore him, praise him, thank him, bless him, worship him, in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, as if all of humanity was in front of him. He says, I want to feel your heart palpitating in my sacred heart, only with my own love and my pain. I want to feel your human will in my holy divine will, that multiplying in everyone, past, present, and future, may give me, with one single act, the reparation of all of humanity, and the love of all of humanity. This is what Jesus did. He was alone in the divine will with his mother, adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, worshiping God in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. And now Jesus says, I want you, now is the time I want my children to enter into this abundant life. This is really just astonishing. I want to feel your human will in mind, that multiplying in everyone may give me with one single act the reparations of everyone and the love of everyone. And my divine will in yours, your human will, that making your poor humanity my own. So he bought us with his precious blood. Now he's coming to get his property. May elevate it before the divine majesty of the Father as my continued victim. So here, this victimhood of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, it's not giving life to the human misery, worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness, praising God, loving God, glorifying God, worshiping God. The martyrdom that Jesus asks us to go through is the martyrdom of martyrdoms, not giving life to misery. And again, misery is all around us. It's all around us. And The evil one just wants us to give up and become miserable, like the majority of humanity at this point. Jesus says to us, would you be willing to give that up, to die to that misery, so that you begin to live a life of peace, joy, and happiness? So God's going to test us. He's going to see what we're going to do. He puts us in situations every day, every single day. And our job is to say, I want to live in the divine will. Volume 12, 4, 8, 19, 18. I found myself in Jesus, and my little Adam was swimming in the eternal volition. And since this eternal volition is one single act that contains all acts together, past, present, and future, I, being in the eternal volition, see, that's where God is calling us. What do you want of me? You know, we read this morning. Jesus says, I want you to enter into the eternal volition of God. I took part in that single act that contains all acts as much as possible for a creature. I also took into the acts that do not exist and yet must exist. This is the thing that's so surprising. We, in the divine will, there's no time or space. In the divine will, we are doing all the acts that are yet to be done, but they're to be done in the divine will, not in the human will anymore. So Jesus says those souls who are striving to live in the divine will now, he says those souls are doing something that humanity has never done before. Adam did it before the fall. Jesus and Mary did this while they were on earth. But the fallen nature, the first person who has done this is Louisa. He says, I want you to enter into all acts, past, present, and future, to give God all the glory, all the praise, all the love for all of humanity in all time. So he says this. He says, you must also take a place in the acts that do not exist, yet must exist until the end of the centuries, until God shall be God. For these two, I loved him, I thanked him, I blessed him, etc. Louisa participated in this. So Jesus is saying, would you be willing to do this? Would you be willing to do this in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, from Adam to the last person? As Jesus did this, as Mary did this, co-redeemed with Christ on Calvary, would you be willing to live this abundant life? And when we say, yes, God goes, good, prove it. And that's where we really begin to read and study and put into practice these truths that Jesus gave to Louisa. Volume 12, 2, 5, 22, 19, 19. To others, according to their dispositions, I reached the point of giving graces that I would give to 10, to others that I would give to 100, to others, those that I would give to 1,000. And sometimes I give graces that I would give to cities, to provinces, and even to entire kingdoms. Jesus says, what do you want? What do you want? Oh, I've heard people say, all I want to do is sneak into purgatory. Really? You want to sneak in? As Thomas Aquinas says, the flames of purgatory are the flames of heaven. Excuse me, are the flames of hell. There are flames of heaven that are coming, but it's glorious what is coming. So here Jesus is saying, according to the disposition, what's your disposition? Is it trusting in God in all situations, believing in God in all situations? I reached the point of giving graces I would give to 10 people. Okay, if we are open to the grace that 10 people don't want this grace, I'll take it. God says, good. Or 100, or 1,000. Or to entire cities, to entire provinces, even to entire kingdoms. Are you willing to say yes to God? Give me what you want. I'll take everything that nobody else wants. All your grace, all your love. And Jesus says, would you really be willing to do that? Jesus says he's going to do this. And these love me and give me, Jesus, the glory for 10, for 100, for 1,000, etc. And in this way, my glory is completed on the part of creation. We represent all of creation, and we give to God all the love, all the praise, all the glory. And when I see the creature cannot reach in spite of her goodwill, I draw her into my most holy divine will, in which she finds the virtue of multiplying one single act for as many as she wants. You see what Jesus is doing? And she gives me all the glory, all the honor, all the love that all the other souls do not give me. God deserves everyone's praise and love and glory. And he says, there's many that are not doing this. Would you do it for them? We go, yes, Lord. He goes, good. I will receive all the glory from all of humanity through you, as if they were all praising me with your voice. This is the single act. This is the prime act that our God wants us to enter into, to be one with God, fused with God. Psalm 12:1-7, 19:21. My beloved daughter, after so much sorrow that the creatures give me in these sad times, that's where we are, to the point of making me cry, I smile, a smile shall take over. Listen, this is what's coming. That shall fill heaven and earth with gladness. That's what's coming. And this smile shall arise on my lips when I see the first fruits of the daughters of my divine will living not in the human sphere, but in the divine sphere. This is what Jesus is saying. God is going to smile upon humanity when we begin to live in the divine will, not the human, but divine. That's what the priest does every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water in the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. No more doom and gloom. Jesus said, a smile is coming when I see those souls living heaven on earth. Peace, joy, and happiness, not worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. We've got to stop that. That's what we have to die to. Yes, you're going to be filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin if you're not going to live in the divine will. The solution for what's coming is living in the divine will now, before you die. I, God, shall see them all marked by the eternal, by the immense, by the infinite divine will. And I shall see the eternal point that has life only in heaven flowing over the earth and molding souls in its infinite principles with the divine acting, with the multiplication of the acts of one single act and be. And just as creation came out from the fiat, in the fiat, shall it be completed? So it's this breath of God, this ruah of God, breathing from the divine will, coming back. It's he breathes into us, and we're going to give back to God this divine, I love you. This is what God has planned. Volume 13, 8:20, 19:21. How could I not keep this soul guarded, not only be highly jealous of her, if one single act of hers is worth more than creation itself, as the soul operates in my divine will. So Jesus is teaching us how to do this. These lessons that Jesus gives to us every day when we read the book of heaven is teaching us how to operate in the divine will. And nobody possesses it fully yet. It's going to happen. Jesus says, listen, he says it right here. He said, a smile shall take over that shall fill heaven and earth when? When I see the first fruits of living, not in the human sphere, but in the divine sphere. This has not happened yet, because that will be the time when heaven kisses earth. Heaven is going to touch earth. So Jesus says, get ready for what I'm going to do. Her acts are unfolding the life of my divine will, the prodigies of volition, my repeated fiat. See, it's Jesus that he's our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King. He is the one we're supposed to emulate. That's what why he breathed into Louisa. He says, Louisa, you're the one I'm going to mold so that all of humanity will be like you. Why? Because you, Louisa, are in the image and likeness of Jesus and Mary. The only thing that Louisa doesn't have is the glorified body. That's coming. That's coming. When that happens, that's when the kingdom is going to be established on earth as it is in heaven. What did Our Lady say? My son is going to bring about the last and final miracle for humanity. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? The last and final miracle. Volume 14, 120, 1922. Wanting to have one's own merits is of servants. That's where we are. Wanting to have one's own merits is of servants, of slaves, not of sons and daughters. So Jesus is going to free us from this human misery. What belongs to the Father belongs to the children. And besides, what are all the merits that you could acquire compared to one single act of my divine will? What if you could have everything in the world and not have the divine will? All merits have their own little value, weights and measures. But who could ever measure one single act of my divine will? No one, no one. And then what are your merits compared to mine? In my divine will, you shall find them all. And I, God, shall make you the owner of everything, owner of heaven. Aren't you happy? Aren't you happy? Absolutely. Volume 14, 316, 1922. Do you think it is trivial that I, God, make all your acts run in the current of my divine will, and that of the current of my divine will runs in your act? It's not human anymore. It's not filled with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. It's filled with peace, joy, and happiness. And that, in these currents run, as they form one single act with all of humanity, all the acts of creatures, making a divine volition flow over everyone, past, present, and future, making themselves the actor of each act of each one, substituting for all with a divine act, a divine eternal love, a divine reparation, a divine glory. It's not human. See, God creates, why do I keep on saying it's humanity is fallen. We have been redeemed, but we're not yet glorified yet. We're not yet sanctified. That's the divine will. To live the life that Adam lived before the fall, to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, which because of Adam's fall has joy and suffering. So the suffering that we're going through, so be it. We deserve far worse than what we're going through. But God is going to transform, transmute the face of the earth. Volume 14, 425, 1922. I, God, place thousands of angels as custodians of one single act done in my divine will. You blink in the divine will. I want to blink in the divine. I want to walk in the divine will. I want to pray. Jesus is saying, I place thousands of angels as custodians. Why? It's Jesus that's doing it. It's not us anymore. We're entering into that new and divine way of holiness. In fact, since these acts done in my divine will are seeds so that the divine will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, all the saints are jealous of these acts. Their dew is my breath. Their shadow is my light. The angels remain enraptured by the souls doing acts and rounds in the divine will. Reverent. They adore them. Why? Jesus in us is doing them. How can we not be happy? Because in these acts, they see the eternal will of God that deserves all their adoration. And only when I find other souls who picking them as divine fruits, making of them food for their souls, then these acts are left. Oh, the fecundity, the multiplicity of these acts. The creature herself who does them cannot count them. This is where we are today. We're learning how to do this and letting go of everything else, letting go all that is human to embrace the divine. See, Jesus says, I'm waiting for humanity to do this. So in your community, if you are reading the book of heaven, if you are studying the book of heaven and learning from Jesus, these lessons that he's giving to us every day, As you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, a new beginning is happening for all of humanity. The world is changing. Why? Because a new and divine way of holiness is occurring in your community because of you doing it. One with God. Volume 14, 527, 1922. Now, this is the prevening act. This, remember this, people say, oh, the Pratavaniak is so long. It's so long. How do I read this? How do I study this? This is the Pratavaniak, volume 14, 527, 1922. My daughter, there is the prevenient act and the actual act. The prevenient act, this is it. This is what Jesus says. The prevenient act is when a soul, from the first rising of the day, as soon as you open your eyes, fixes her human will in mind. We say, Lord, I want to live in the divine will. And decides and confirms that she wants to live and operate only in my divine will. Lord, that's all I want to do. I want to live and operate only in the divine will. That's why you start the day. Then she anticipates all of her acts and makes them all flow in my divine will. Everything that I think today, say today, do today, I want it done in the divine will. Those are the two things. With the prevenient will, that may the sun rise, my life remain duplicated in all her acts as though in one single act, and this makes up for the actual act. That's not a page of what God wants. Somebody put that together. I don't know who put that together. It's nice, but that's not what Jesus says. Jesus says, really, this is the prevenient act. You wake up in the morning and say, I want to do all everything in the divine will today, every thought, word, and deed. I want everything that I can always be one with you today, Lord, in my actual acts as well. So I anticipate everything I'm going to do today. Everything I do today, I'm going to do in the divine will, period. Oh, but Father, I got this page. I got downloaded from the internet. It's so detailed. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus, this, read volume 14, 527, 1922. It's very concise. And Jesus says, it's up to you what you want to do. You want to do a whole page? Good. Jesus doesn't say that. Jesus says, this is what I want. Fix your human will in mind. And do everything in the divine will. And everything that you're going to do in the divine will today. God goes, it goes back to this. Lord, what do you want from me? This is what I want from you. Do the prevenient act. Have your human will in my divine will. Never be separated from me in every thought, word, and deed that you do today. We go, yes, Lord. There's no rules or regulations for the divine will. It's simple. It's for children. Volume 14, 8:15, 1922. My daughter, in my divine will, you shall find not only all the acts of my holy humanity did, in which I braided all creatures together, you shall also find everything that my dear mother did, being braided with me, forms one single act. So here are the three braids, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, and we are one with Louisa. It's all braided together. Becomes one. It becomes stronger. That's what Jesus is saying. You find everything with you. All the prayers of humanity with you. All the prayers of Jesus with you. All the prayers of Mary with you through little Louisa. This is what God is giving to us. Volume 14, 9/9/1922. With another breath of mine, I, God, could say, I infuse myself in the depth of Adam in order to sustain him, dominate him, and keep him safe, so that Adam formed a kingdom for me. Why? Because of Jesus, in which I, as king, was to extend my boundaries, and all the good of the other kingdoms was to overflow for the glory and honor of the first kingdom that was to be the head of the others as though the prime act of creation. This is what God is doing. The prime act of creation, one with Jesus. Image and likeness. That's what the divine will brings us to. Volume 14, 10, 19, 1922. My daughter, my holy humanity lived as though in the center of the eternal sun of my divine will. Now think of this. Think of the sun in the sky. The saints, Jesus said, circle the sun and adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God. He says, my children enter into the sun and participate in God. That's what we're learning. We're learning how to let go of the things of the earth and to embrace the things of the S-U-N, the sun, as he says, of my divine will, the center of the eternal sun of my divine will. And its rays starting from the center, that carrying my divine immensity with them, and envelop everything and everyone. See, this is what God does. We're children of God. We're going to learn how to do this. A new, as John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. My operating, starting from this center, as though in act for each act of every person, each word as though in each act for every word, each thought as though in each act, in act for each thought, and so with all the rest. We enter into all that humanity is doing. What is it doing? It's transmuting humanity. The world is changing. It's changing for the better. The only one that's terrified of what's coming is the evil one, because his kingdom is going to be gone. He goes, as it ascended again into its center as one single act, carrying all human acts within itself in order to redo them and reorder them. All of humanity. This is what Jesus did. This is what Mary did. This is what they gave to Louisa. According to the will of my Father. Therefore, only because my holy humanity lived in the center of the eternal volition, I, God, was able, was able to embrace everyone as one single act in order to accomplish with decorum and worthy of me the work of redemption. And just as the split of the human will from the divine was all the act, all the evil of Adam, so the stable union of the will of my most holy humanity, Jesus says, with the divine was to form all his good, all that's coming back to humanity. A new beginning is coming back to humanity. And Jesus is saying to us, are you willing to enter into this new and abundant life? Are you willing to be peaceful, joyful, and happy? Are you willing? When we say yes, then God goes, prove it. Okay, you're willing. Now, how do you do this? Keep on reading. Keep on studying. Listen to these lessons of Jesus. He's teaching us every day how to let go of the misery, all the worry, all the fear, all the anxiety, all the complaints, all the negativity, all the sin. How to let go of that light to embrace heaven on earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. How is this going to happen? Archbishop Piccieri says, is through Louisa, that she is the only one that has explained how the Our Father is going to be fulfilled. It's when we begin to live as true sons and daughters of God. A new and glorious thing is happening, and our God is asking us to begin to live this abundant life. Hang on to your hats. It's going to be great. We'll be back in 15 minutes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.